Michelle Live Podcast.
My Michelle Live.
Hey, thanks for joining in. You made it through another week, and as a special treat, we're going to take on the news and a lot of the news that is underreported, spin-doctored, things that you don't get to hear anymore because, well, free speech, that is so yesterday. Come on. And because of people who get canceled. We're going to announce a little later who gets the canceled package this week, and that's something we'll talk about. But welcome to My Michelle Live. My Michelle Live is a place where we report kind of like they used to do in the old days. Now it's like innovative. Wow. I can't tell you how many people, guests come on the show. Thank you for doing this, man. It's so good and refreshing to have a voice out there that report. It's like, no, it's called journalism, people. So we report the news, and yes, we will comment on the news, but we do research our sources, and we get to what we call the God story. And this is where we look for on this program, on this day, a little week in review.
A week in review.
That's right. A week in review, where the news goes round and round and round. So we're going to be taking it on. I want to introduce you to my guest host. Well, he's not a guest anymore. He's just family, right? And so my co-host of our week in review is Adam Rizzieri.
Let's review the week. The Riz Report with Adam Rizzieri.
And I keep saying it. We've allowed Big Voice Guy to change your name from Adam Rizzieri to, I mean, I don't even know what your name is anymore. He just says it like a white guy. And we're going to be talking about that white privileged Big Voice Guy today.
Indeed. Yeah, the way I've always sort of like explained it to people, I'm just like, think about Lake Erie, right? And then just Rizzieri. And so like, the first day of school, though, you know, growing up, there were people that were just like Rizzierio. And I'm just like, there's no O.
Oh, I know. You know.
Where did the O go?
And, you know, Rose by any other name would smell as sweet as they say. Adam, thanks for joining in. You can find Adam at Agency Partners Interactive. He is a marketing specialist, and he is up on the news. He's my co-host as we look into a week in review. Lots of things that are going on, and we're going to try to get to some of the big stories, especially ones that are underreported, that we can give you the full news view. Adam, what do you got first off the bat?
Man, it's been a crazy week. You know, I think all of us kind of know that Facebook went down on Monday, which was pretty crazy. Facebook as a company lost $6 billion in revenue that day alone. But man, just think about all those small businesses and Facebook users that were locked out and just as canceled as Michelle and I have been from time and time again. That was pretty crazy. And also, too, just kind of that basically followed the Facebook whistleblower announcement. And I think that was a pretty huge story that hit. We've seen the Wall Street Journal releasing the Facebook files now for a period of time following this whistleblower releasing information to the SEC, and then of course also releasing information to the press as well. Really just a lot of stuff that validates a lot of things that we already know. And frankly, Michelle, I found a deeper story there. There were people asking, well, is this whistleblower actually just a Democrat operative? Is she, what's the angle there? So, I found some interesting connections there between her and, frankly, Jen Psaki, and then also Eric Sciaramella.
Okay, we're going to share that. That's a big news story. Some huge news stories as well, where the vaccine and children are concerned. I mean, story after story, study after study, country after country. It is huge, and it's making the United States of America look like some backwater third world nation. We're just not keeping up on things. So we're going to talk about that. And I think some other issues that are on the table, some crazy biases that are affecting all of us. Let's
sure.
start.
Well, it explains, I think the president's approval ratings too that we've
Ooh,
seen.
Let's start there.
Okay, yeah, we'll start all there right. For sure. So it's interesting, Michelle, and we kind of saw this, I guess, happening with just the border crisis getting really terrible. And then boom, the issue in Kabul happened. And that's when you started to see the far, far left liberal media start to come out and say, you know what, this Joe Biden guy, I don't know about him. And so this week we saw Jake Tapper, of all people, starting to get some heat from the far left because he was just pointing out basically just data. Joe Biden's approval rating from the Quinnipiac polls, which this past month, a 38% approval rating for a guy who's not even a year into his presidency. And this follows kind of a trend of it being in the low to mid 50s or so over the first 6 months. It was a 42% approval in September. And yeah, now we're looking at literally a 38% approval rating, which is pretty crazy. When you look past that too, looking at the economy specifically, how Biden has been handling the economy itself, not much better, about a 39% approval rating. And then just the basics of character. Is Joe Biden an honest guy? Does he even know what he's talking about? 44% of Americans think he's honest. So less than half of the country thinks that the things that come out of his mouth actually have credibility. And then whether or not he's competent to run the government, frankly, this is the question was, is he competent or not competent? 55% of Americans think that Joe Biden is not competent in running the government today.
That's huge.
And so Jake Tapper was pointing this stuff out, and he started getting tons of heat. Just Twitter blew him up. And here we are, you know?
Okay, what kind of heat was Tapper getting on this?
Oh, Jake, this is fake news and Quinnipiac poll. What are you talking about? Just lots of hate. People are thinking that Jake has sort of turned his back on the far left just by reporting this sort of information. You know, I think it's hard to listen to really anything that comes out of CNN these days.
Reporting, people. It's called reporting. And for those of you who are new to the class, let's point out that that's how the media is supposed to run. You're supposed to report on stories, even and especially stories that challenge the president.
And oh, absolutely.
If the media was doing that, if we really saw how Joe Biden cannot put sentences together, right? He just cannot do that. He says things that go off into space, and that's the president of the United States. Now, from the day one of the Trump administration, people got on the air. Psychologists were analyzing Adam and saying, is he competent as president? Is he a narcissist? Is he? And they were psychoanalyzing him without him ever sitting on their couch. I think that was fair too. Look at it. I want to know. And if he's looking wacky, let's talk about it. But the same rule of reporting has not only not applied to Joe Biden, but we're not seeing that. You have to go to alternative sources to see some of the things that they cut out. You had mentioned before we got on the air some of the carefully guarded, he doesn't take questions. We talked about that last week. We had sound bites on that. They have fake sets. Everything is carefully orchestrated.
Those fake
it's
sets,
almost
Michelle,
like the conspiracy theory with the moon landing. You know,
the fake sets are so goofy. And just to think that Jake Tapper just reporting from Quinnipiac, there was a quote from this guy named Tim Malloy. He's a polling analyst over there at Quinnipiac University. And Jake got blasted for allowing this guy just to speak the truth of what the poll showed here. He said, battered on trust, doubted on leadership, and challenged on overall competency, President Biden is being hammered on all sides as his approval rating continues its downward slide to a number not seen since the tough scrutiny of the Trump administration. I mean, it's because, like Michelle said, I mean, he has to basically do whatever his handlers say. When he's at the podium taking questions, he literally says things like, oh, I don't know if I'm allowed to answer that, or I don't know if I'm allowed to do this and do that. Man, you're the president of the United States. Who are you? Like, how are you not allowed to answer questions from the press? That's your job. So here we are, you know, we're actually learning that he does. I think the video of him getting his vaccine, right? We saw kind of like the full angle shot of what was going on in that room. And it was revealed to us that he was sitting on a stage in a fake Oval Office getting the jab. I mean, you have to ask yourself, well, what was actually in that syringe, right? Like, maybe it was just saline. it's hard to believe anything that we see now when you just, everything's a production. You know?
It's too bad that you have to ask that question too, you know, that because honestly, yeah, it sounds like, okay, yeah, conspiracy. But everything else is fake and carefully doctored. And basically, good information is completely taken off the table. You're not allowed to say those kind of things. Whatever happened to free speech? And then there's there's more biases. Now, I don't care what side of the fence you're on. It really doesn't matter to me. I think all these points of views that are out there are important. Even the ones that disagree vehemently with me. Why? Because it sharpens. I use this scripture all the time because I love it. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. You know, if you think about crossing blades in a movie, sparks fly, shing, 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 shing. It sharpens it. Your blade, so to speak. When you have someone that disagrees, it makes you have to think, research it, find sources, and not just spout off ideas, which does happen a lot on both sides. So I don't care what side of the aisle you're on. I don't care if you agree or disagree. But what we all should be really concerned about is the disallowance of the dissemination of information that is factual, that is researched, and saying, no, we're not allowed to say that anymore, because it does lead to a horrific double standard. And that leads to another news story on the Texas high school gunman that was released on bail one day after shooting a teacher and four others.
It's freaking nuts, Michelle. And this happened not all too far a drive from actually where I live.
Really?
This happened in Arlington, Texas, which is basically between me and where the Cowboys play.
Okay.
And it's Arlington, frankly, is a kind of a really cool center for entertainment. There's some theme parks over there. It's close to where the Texas Rangers baseball team is as well. And then there's also some water parks there, but you know, that water's a little too warm for me. I'm not touching that place. And now in respect to kind of what Michelle was saying, these double standards, these inconsistencies, seeing the law not be applied equally across the entire spectrum here. This 18-year-old named Timothy Simpkins literally shot his teacher and four other students because they were apparently bullying him, per his own claims here. This guy was released the day after going to school and lighting the place up on a $75,000 bail, right? He was released on a $75,000 bail. He got out the next day, no cuffs, just walking home, basically. But Michelle, I think about just some other things that have happened over the past year or so. So Kenosha, right? Kenosha was the scene of a really crazy riot. There was a lot of violence between, obviously, two sides of the political spectrum. Antifa was there. They were violent. And then there was also this teenager there named Kyle Rittenhouse, who was seen throughout several hours of footage actually administering first aid to actually people that were both on the Antifa side of the fence and then also people that were on the Live Free side of the fence, I guess you might say. Kyle Rittenhouse was thrown in jail for a shooting that came from an act of self-defense. He was shown being chased by a mob of people. One of those people actually had a gun that was being raised to Kyle's back as he dropped to the ground with his rifle and then shot at, I think it was two people. So this teenager was basically involved in a self-defense shooting, right? The kid was given a $2 million bail. I mean, I don't know who the heck can pay for a $2 million bail. He didn't take a gun to a school. He didn't attack somebody just randomly.
Okay, and even if you think what he did was reprehensible, that's perfectly fine. That's why we have a court of law. But it is indisputable that there was violence and that was being administered in that case. It may not mean that his life was actually in danger. You know, that has to be weighed out in court. But looking at these two incidents, one shooting a teacher and defenseless students, and let's assume bullying was going on, does that punishment fit the crime? And a person who is literally being chased. Okay, why wouldn't we see a $75,000 bail for both?
The scales of justice don't seem to kind of balance out there. And then even more extreme, Michelle, the January 6th pre-trial detainees, right? on the far left, they call it the Capitol riots or the insurrection. I think the January 6th event might be a descriptor for it. Certainly there was violence there.
Yeah, because if that's not an insurrection, when Black Lives Matter burst into and protest, why was that not an insurrection as well?
Well, in that case, Michelle, what was it, Chaz, right? Where territory was occupied and held, right? Like actual physical land was held. And inside the jurisdiction of Chaz, okay. I say that with like a half smirk, there was lawlessness, rape.
Well, you know, I walked through there many times because it was in my own backyard, essentially, and blocks from where I worked. And during the day, it was this hippie loving festival. But at night, it was scary, very militaristic, by the way, armed people. They had differing factions who were controlling. You don't want police, but yet you have these uncoordinated yahoos with guns. It was very, very scary. It was indeed. But why isn't that equal?
It's really not, because you think about the there were two teenagers at least that were shot within the confines of Chaz, and you couldn't
deaths.
Get emergency
they
personnel
were deaths,
to
not just
care.
Shot there were deaths,
absolutely, and no first aid could be given to these people. They couldn't get any care. If I were a parent, I'd be like, well, honey, why were you there to begin with? But that being said, they still didn't deserve that, right? And so you think about that, and that really, I think, is more fitting to an insurrection than not. They took over police stations. They took over buildings. It's just unimaginable, but it actually happened, which is the crazier thing. But then you look at the event on Capitol or at the Capitol Hill on January 6th, right? The only fatality by a gunshot was Ashley Babbitt, a military veteran wearing an American flag as a cape, who was definitely breaking the law. She broke property, but she wasn't actually threatening anybody physically, but she was killed. And of course there was the Capitol officer who was ruled to have died from natural causes, and that's absolutely terrible and very tragic in and of itself. But you think about the others, the people that were there, that were captured on social media, that were captured on through photographs, right? A lot of them were arrested and charges were brought against them by the federal government. You guys might recall this one image of the guy in Nancy Pelosi's office with his feet kicked up on her desk.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And he was sitting in her chair, and he was pretty proud of himself. And you know, there was just like the kid in me definitely laughed when I saw the photo, because I was just like, oh yeah, that's kind of crazy, but really kind of funny too. But I know it's not funny. This guy, he's a 61-year-old named Richard Barnett, and he had to spend over 3 months in solitary confinement, which is literally defined as 22 hours per day in solitary confinement. He spent over 3 months in solitary confinement by himself, locked up for that. I know he took stationery from Pelosi's desk, but I also know that he left money on the table to like pay for it. Think about that. He spent over, I think it was 109 days in confinement. At one point he had a cardiac event and he was denied proper health care. But then think about Timothy Simpkins, this high school shooter over here in Texas, who shot 5 people, a teacher and 4 kids, and was out the next day on bail. It does not add up to me at all. It's totally unimaginable. How is that fair?
I don't think that it necessarily is. Different jurisdictions do come into play, if I were to be honest. But yet, this is something that is part of becoming woke. And this week on My Michelle Live, you can listen to our Thursday broadcast of My Michelle Live, where we talk with Kenny Hsu about the Salvation Army and it's going woke. Here's what Kenny had to say about the Salvation Army sending out to its members and leaders a piece on let's talk about racism, that which I think is perfectly fine until you realize that it is rife with a lot of critical race theory that makes the assumption that you act and think a certain way because of the color of your skin, which in itself, what do they call that? Racist. Hello. Let's listen to Kitty.
Here's the issue with the Salvation Army's Let's Talk About Racism statement and how it relates to wokeness, right? If you're asking your members to repent for racism, you are saying that your members are racist. And the Salvation Army is probably the least racist organization in America for the past 200 years. In 1898, before Sikhs repent for racism, you are saying that your members are racist. And the Salvation Army is probably the least racist organization in America for the past 200 years. In 1898, before 68.
Okay,
years
I'm letting it play twice because it's Salvation so nice, but seriously.
Wow.
Think about that. The Salvation Army, like many other church organizations, I think if we were to be honest, have had bits and pieces, I'm sure, of racist leanings. I think the Salvation Army, in full disclosure, because that's what I do, had a hand in some of the Aboriginal separations of families back in the day. That is certainly not part of who they are today. And they've issued many things that talk about their acceptance of all races and creeds. This is serious because it is a Christian organization. And I'm just going to say, in the God story in racism, is that the Bible says there is neither Jew nor Greek nor slave nor free. Everyone was equal in a time when the Bible was written where there was anything but equality. But within the following of Christ, complete equals. Your slave equal with you in Christ, your brothers. That was a radical concept. That's where you get real equality. But I think we're seeing a lot of this wokeness, and it's like a religious jihad that must be enforced and to the detriment of free speech. And we're seeing this a lot in a story that you had mentioned that talks about the whistleblower at Facebook. Folks, this is huge. As you're listening, honey, you got to tune into this. There is one issue I would think that we can all agree on in America. You would hope we could all agree on, and that's human trafficking. The sexual exploitation of children is absolutely beyond heinous. Now, we could do a whole new show on how there are voices out there that say, no, it's not heinous. You need to allow that. I'm not even going there, because anyone who thinks like that, you have a reprobate mind. Boom. Yes. We'll just leave it at that. But this is mind-blowing when you think of the amount of human trafficking, information for sexual exploitation of children that Facebook alone is responsible for. Let's take that on, Adam.
Oh my gosh. So it's just like, okay, so it's really crazy to think about Facebook as a tool for employment. And I say that because the cartel has literally used Facebook to employ Texas teenagers or Texas young 20-year-olds. It employs Texas kids, and it hires them basically to help them with their trafficking of humans and drugs. So we're going to pay some 20-year-old a ridiculous amount of cash, and then we're going to basically weaponize that kid to move stuff for us. It's going to move people, and it's going to move terrible, terrible drugs. And that's why we see you look at the drug rates in our country rising. You know, it's because they're coming over the border, you know, commensurate with the amount of people coming over the border on a daily basis. That's just that alone. But then you think about, well, Facebook's also being used, Michelle, to fuel the underground organ trade market. So the black market for organs is literally flourishing on Facebook Marketplace.
And can we say when Zuckerberg was talking about this, he was basically saying, yeah, we know this is happening, and we're developing algorithms to try to stop this, but we just can't do it. Really? But you can freaking take me down like that if like I say, that. Hey, if I have a story like Perry Collins from North Carolina, who is the recipient of our canceled hat and t-shirt this week, because he posted how his child, and we're going to talk more about children and the vaccine and vaccines. He posted on Facebook how his child was adversely affected, that they had to take her to the hospital. They were scared to death that she wasn't going to make it. And he wanted other parents to know that this, to be prepared if they're going to jab their child. Now, he didn't say anything pro or he said he was even vaccinated. So it's not like he's anti-vax, but he was taken down. Boy, they can take that down in an instant before anyone gets a chance to read that, because he's a danger to, like me, to society.
But if he were a VIP, though, he could have said whatever he wanted about COVID, which is insane. The whistleblower revealed the truth. So she didn't reveal, I would say, any real new information, but she validated a lot of what we already knew. And part of that was the fact that Facebook has a class system. There are these elites in Facebook. It's about 6 million people of VIPs, journalists, activists, artists, basically famous people, right? And they can say whatever the heck they want. And literally, those people are not subject to the same AI filtering that we are. So when we say stuff, we're shut down almost immediately. You know, we're lucky to get our accounts back. It's a really cumbersome process to argue our suspension. And also, too, it's cumbersome just to understand why we were suspended to begin with. You know, I guess they just don't like Michelle on the guitar. But you know what? She's darn good on the guitar. So they need to lighten up and be a little bit more fair. Frances Haugen, she's this whistleblower, and she really just validated the fact that Facebook consistently says things publicly, but privately, but behind their walls. It's a very different story, whether it's about teen mental health, the fact that they've conducted a three-year research on what social media, specifically Instagram, does for teenage girls. Well, Facebook's trying to protect the truth of that data because it harms their business model, especially as we see, you know, other platforms like TikTok taking steam and kind of rising and growing its user base. The Facebook whistleblower, she really, I think, was very articulate in describing things that we already knew, but the interesting thing is that there are many that are saying, well, wait a minute, who is this lady? And is she actually a Democrat operative? Now, this is a really interesting one, because when I started the week,
you know that phrase, truth is greater than fiction. You're just going, what?
It's so trippy, Michelle. And it's like, so literally there's always a story behind the headline, you know? And like when the week started, I was just like, okay, this is really great, like this whistleblower is validating stuff that we already knew. But then when I looked a little bit deeper into things, and I started to understand sort of what some of the I guess the controllers of the strings behind the scene, you know, who they were, I was really shocked to learn some things. I was shocked to learn that the whistleblower's PR firm is the same firm that Jen Psaki used to work at, the same firm that was founded by one of the top Obama aides, and then also her legal team is the same legal team that represented Adam Schiff's fake whistleblower, Eric Sciaramella, back during the whole, like, remember that phone call between Trump and the Ukrainian president? And it was basically Trump saying, hey, you know what? I think you should probably look into this Burisma company a little bit more closely. That guy. So, you know, kind of considering also that the whistleblower was a part of Facebook's civic integrity team, the same team that censored the Hunter Biden laptop story, that she's consistently been a donor to the Democratic Party, a big supporter of AOC, even though she's not from New York. You know, it's like there's some real connections there, and you start to ask yourself, well, what might the motivation be? And when it comes to changing big tech, when it comes to shaping the future of how we communicate as a society, well, I think what we're seeing here is the far left's effort to control that future, to control what the outcome of that is. Here we have this whistleblower saying, I think that Facebook and big tech is not censoring enough content. I don't think that Facebook is censoring enough users. But then, of course, the other side of that argument is, you know what, the internet should be a place, basically a marketplace for free and fair competition of the best or the worst ideas. You know, let everybody talk, let everybody share what their viewpoints are, and may the best ideas win.
And let me just ask you this, for the opposite of that. If you say, yeah, those things shouldn't be said, I hear that a lot because I live in the Republic of Seattle. And so I hear that a lot. I hear, well, that you just should not be allowed to say that. Ask yourself this, why? What are you so afraid of? If you're right, then the truth sets you free. If you're wrong, then don't you want to know what's right? And who gets to be the arbiter of all truth? Who is it that makes those decisions? And how do you feel about that when, well, maybe your truth is actually not only a lie, but your truth maybe actually killing people. I want to get into some of the mistruths. You sent this picture, someone challenging Twitter, and it says, hey, Twitter, since I know your goal is to be fair and consistent regarding politics, will you be labeling this Joe Biden lie as misinformation that the vaccinated can't get or transmit COVID?
You know, I love that tweet. And it's this verified blue check called Clay Travis. And I don't know if he's a blue check, good or bad. I just know he has a check next to his name. I guarantee you. So when you look at the ratio of Biden fact checks versus any conservative influencer or libertarian influencer, I mean, John Stossel is getting shot down by big tech, you know, freaking John Stossel, man. You know that this Biden saying Facebook's killing people, man, and just all this stuff, it's not getting checked. Nobody's looking at that because the fact checkers are funded by the same people that are funding the political elite today.
So now the narrative has changed to, well, you get the vaccine to lessen the effects, which might be fair. And especially if you're in a high risk category, you take that under consideration with some of the adverse effects and some of the concerns over these vaccines. This is a matter of fact, very provable and mainstream sources. The vaccines were doing animal testing, and those testings were canceled because too many animals were dying.
That's right.
Well, that's why you do animal testing, so that you make sure that that doesn't happen to human beings.
Like, this one's not working, guys.
There's that concern of micro blood clots. There are people who say we could see some people dying in the next 2 to 5 years. This is a reality. That's a byproduct. We're so used to those byproducts, aren't we? We're so used to watching commercials that say, well, this drug can help you with your eczema. It may cause your brain to leak out of your anus. We're so used to that we're like, oh, we can live with side effects until it happens to us. And if we aren't talking about it, hey, hello, vaccines will never get better if we don't challenge it. That's the byproduct of you saying it should not be said. Two, we are not able to say, but here's what you can do to offset that. Here are some things that you can do to protect yourself from those things. You will have no protection. So when you're hospitalized down the road, boom. And how many people were listening to the president and said, I have the vaccine, I'm perfectly safe. And they infected people that they loved unknowingly. That is so unfair. If we would have had people able to spread useful information and have that balance, then we would have a little bit more truth to set us free, Adam.
And yet here we are, Michelle, where it's more dangerous than ever to post any content on YouTube or Facebook about COVID, positive or negative. You say the word COVID on there, you're likely to get shut down. So the fact that you can't, I mean, you made a really good point, Michelle. Okay, yeah, so let's acknowledge the fact that there could be side effects, right? All right, well, I would like to hear from people that have experienced side effects so that we understand how to mitigate those. Those are really important conversations. Unless that person works at Google or YouTube or Facebook or Twitter, I mean, you literally have to become you have to become a whistleblower at Facebook or Google, and then you have to secretly reveal documents to the SEC to get any attention without being shut down, just to get information that's, you know, kind of shared with the masses. You know, you can't just share information with your close-knit community of friends and neighbors and family without falling victim to the censors. I think it's just totally ridiculous.
Right? It is ridiculous. And I do want to make
this. Last time I checked, this is the United States.
I do want to make this promise to you as you're watching, listening, or reading that even though, yeah, I've been canceled here and there, I have always find a way to get that information up, to keep it on my website at mymichellelive.com. And I will make the commitment to you to make sure that the information that we share is well researched. If for some reason something comes up and I realize, oh, okay, that wasn't right, I'm not only going to tell you on air, but I will write it on my website. So please keep me accountable. Please, you won't be canceled if you say, wait a minute, here's this study, but I don't want your opinion. I don't want the, you shouldn't be saying this. You're a blankety blank blank. I want studies. I want reliable sources, and I will research them. That is my promise to you, that I will give you that information at mymichellelive.com. It will be there and you'll be able to find it until, you know, they cancel me there too.
And just to add to that, Michelle, you know, there is a haven for free speech. Thank God for that. Go to Rumble. If you've heard of YouTube and you've heard of Vimeo, a competitor to those called Rumble, my only knock to them is that they're based in Toronto. They're Canadian, not American. But you know what? We are friends with Canada, and it's all good. These guys are fighting the good fight.
You can find me on Rumble. That's where I post all of my videos because they don't mind free speech. This is something that
you got to seek them out, though. I just want to add, you have to seek out Rumble because there is actually a lawsuit between Rumble and Google right now. Part of the antitrust lawsuit is the fact that Google preferences its own products. So it's a lot easier to find a YouTube video than it is to find a Rumble video. So, you know, just go through that extra click, go to page two, or just click for Rumble specifically, because Google's right now trying to obviously give YouTube.
Hey, Adam, is there a search engine that my listener friend can go to where they won't find, because Google does censor, where they won't find censored content, where they will be able to look for something and Google won't say, no, you're not allowed to do that?
Yeah, definitely. So there are choices there too. The only thing that you'll realize, and I would challenge everybody to check out, so come up with a Google search term that is just a basic question that might be a little bit critical of the far left, right? Search it on Google and then search it in Bing and then search it in Yahoo, which Yahoo and Bing are the same basically, so you're good there. But then do that same search in DuckDuckGo. The thing that I have to kind of say here is this, that so Google's algorithm is really, really good for search. Your user experience when you're using Google is it's hard to compete. Even Yahoo, Microsoft's search engine, has a hard time competing against Google's algorithm.
That's true.
DuckDuckGo, the nice thing about DuckDuckGo is it doesn't track you the way the others do. It's not going to give you search results based on any sort of bias at the company level. So, you know, I definitely encourage you to check that out. But just know that when you're searching for things that are a little bit more basic, Google's going to give you a much better experience.
Oh, yeah. If you're looking for shopping items or if you're trying to find new lawn furniture, man, go to Google. Second to none. There's great, they do have great information. But if you're looking for research items
any kind of antitrust topics, right? Ooh, the vaccine, antitrust topics. If you're looking at any kind of topic critical to Google, you should already expect that Microsoft's going to be a little bit more truthful than Google will be in the search results, right? So just, you know, challenge your mind, explore different options. DuckDuckGo is a great one to check out.
I appreciate that. Now, talking about misinformation and the vaccine, these are articles. We're going to post pictures as we go, of as many as we can. They're big, huge, humongous stories that have come out that are very big, well-known studies, big, well-known countries that are making statements. And so we're going to go through things where children are concerned. We're already back to school. We have kids that are supposed to mask up, get vaccinated. Kids are being dragged out of class and given the vaccine without their parents' approval. In many places in the United States, I'm trying to get in contact with a woman here who not only is experiencing that because of the vaccine, but her kids were reportedly taken out of class because they were wearing Carhartts sweatshirts and bootcut jeans, and they said that their clothing was racist. So
what?
Because it's too country.
Oh my gosh. That makes me feel racist against country people. Like, that is messed up. Like, they're being racist against crazy country people, man.
But let's talk about some of these crazy issues. True story. I'm putting this up on the screen. Swedish and Danish health officials had announced Wednesday this week that they would pause the use of the Moderna vaccine for all young adults and children. Finland on Thursday paused the use of Moderna's COVID-19 vaccine for younger males. Now, some of this is due to in Finland because of the cardiovascular side effects of myocarditis. Sweden was saying there, and the Danish said, there's too many adverse effects, and the chances of kids getting the virus are very small. And I'm going to go through some of these because they're very important. You're trying to protect yourself. You're trying to do the right thing when you get the vaccine. I'm not demonizing you. I think vaccines can be a very good thing. I think sometimes the adjuvants we should worry about. I think we need to hold vaccine companies accountable. And who the heck makes the decision that they have no culpability if it does kill people? I was talking with my cousin online who's vaccinated and protecting himself. And you may be listening now. Hello, cuz. But he said, hey, you know, some of these people, there's been deaths in children because of COVID. And, you know, these parents should have vaccinated their kids. And it's like, well, you know, sometimes there's more to the story. And I want to talk about more to that story so that you are truly informed. So if you'll indulge me a little bit, Adam, let's talk about
Absolutely.
This. First of all, the flu is often more deadly to children than the coronavirus has proven to be. And I'm showing something, some information from the Mayo Clinic that talks on who's at risk for symptoms. Younger people who get COVID transmit the virus at lower rates and recover at higher rates. A vaccine mandate to them, according to science, is largely unnecessary. This is truth. There is more. Are you ready for it, Adam?
Right.
All right, I'm gonna change screens here and see if we can find a little bit more information to share with you. Boom!
It just
boom.
Makes so much sense, though, right? Like when you're younger, you bounce back from things way more quickly than
well,
not.
It's like, you know,
it's like your 20s versus your 30s.
Sense.
There's a hard difference at age 30.
Common sense. Only 0.005%. Now, I'm not a math girl, but that's pretty low. Let's listen. 0.005% of COVID infections among children have led to deaths. Less than 1%, people, but there have been 572 reports of myocarditis here and inflammation of the heart muscle following 3 million doses of the vaccine in the U.S. Three studies. This is brand new. Let's get this up on the screen. Three studies.
I'm just making sure I heard you say this, Michelle. 0.005%.
Yeah.
Two zeros. Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty stunning. There are three studies this week by researchers that were out this week by researchers in the UK. And they say that children's absolute risk of dying from COVID-19 is infinitesimally small. 99.995% of the 469,000 plus children, almost 500,000 children in England who were infected during the year examined by researchers, survived. There were something like, this is coming out of my head, I have to remember, but of those who died, the vast majority had leukemia or secondary comorbidity.
that makes total sense, Michelle. And I just looked up, you know, the risk of that same age group dying from the flu, 0.01%. So 0.01% the flu, 0.005% COVID. I'll choose COVID.
Yes, there you go. Okay, let's look at Newsweek. Newsweek is saying that unvaccinated children less likely to die of COVID than vaccinated adults, according to a study. Clinical trials carried out by Pfizer on children 12 to 15 revealed 86% of children who were given at least one dose of the jab suffered an adverse reaction rate ranging from mild to serious. Now, that's a huge high number, and to be fair, keep in mind some of that is my arm hurts, right? Or feeling a little tired after the vaccine, which is normal even under the best of vaccines. So, but still, there are some adverse effects there. And when we're looking at some of these problems, this is a true story as well. I wanted to put up on the screen from the Brussels Times. Doctors want the coronavirus measures dropped for kids under 12 in schools. They say, you know, this is ridiculous. The masks are like child abuse. The vaccine is unnecessary in most of these kids. And if your kid has perhaps a comorbidity issue or concern, then you should take that into consideration. So this is where we're at with children. And I think it's very, very important that we realize that. Why is this being pushed on children? Why are Sweden, Norway, here in Brussels, why are they looking at these things? And we're just going, no. If you don't get vaccinated, you are hurting people. Francis Collins, he's the director of the NIH and also a evangelical. He's basically said that if you do not get vaccinated, you are killing people. You are selfish. Because as our vice president said, you know what? This is essentially love your neighbor. That sounds like let's just misappropriate scripture along with the vaccine. We talked about it this week. This is what part of what John West had to say.
VAERS, because it's public. And that's the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System that's existed, official government system, since 1990. And, you know, yes, it's true that not all the data in there is necessarily validated, but it's a system we've had since 1990. And for me, what raises a red flag for that is we've had 1.5 million adverse events reported to that system since 1990. Most people don't know that the proportion of that have come just this year, and we're not even full year, just for the COVID vaccines, over 700,000, close to 50% of all adverse reaction reports in that system have now been filed this year. And regardless of whether you think that that's a perfect system or not, and it's not, but even if you're just comparing apples to apples, there's something going on there when one set of vaccines suddenly outstrips every other vaccine for 30 years. Similarly, of the deaths, almost two-thirds of the deaths reported in that system associated with having taken a vaccine have now come this year and are associated with these.
So take that into consideration. That's why choice is so important. That's why doctors being able to work with you and help you to make those choices are so important. And what about the people who have natural immunity? Even Fauci was like, oh, yeah, that's something we're going to have to look at. Let's just push that out. Fauci. More from John West.
VAERS, because it's public. And that's the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System that's existed.
Okay, they're both the same. But basically, he's saying, you know, to try to use God and the Bible to bully people into getting a vaccine is inane. I don't know. Here we have a place where we're not, and we're talking about social media, the government, mindsets, Adam. You are not allowed to talk about antibodies, and that's what we should really talk about. Are you inoculated? Do you have antibodies, whether you have the vaccine or not?
It's so ridiculous. And like the more you dig into it, too, and just like with big tech, right, whistleblowers are very revealing. And we've seen the whistleblowers come out of Pfizer, and they kind of shed light, or they kind of shine light into something.
Project Veritas.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, I hate that it always comes back down to this, Michelle, but money and power. Money and freaking power. So Project Veritas had a basically one of the Veritas journalists come in contact with two of Pfizer's scientists. Basically, one was a biochemist named Nick Carl. Another was a senior associate scientist named Chris Croce, or it might be Croce. I'm not sure about the pronunciation there, so forgive me there if you're listening, Mr. Croce. And in a nutshell, here's what was revealed. So money is the reason. And basically, these scientists were kind of talking about antibodies. They were talking about the vaccine specifically. And they were talking about how everything that's taking place now between the mandates and just the big pharma in general, it comes down to the COVID vaccines becoming the newest cash cow for Pfizer. And when it comes to exploring things like the monoclonal antibody treatments, right? There's not a whole lot of money there for big pharma, for Pfizer in particular. They really want to sell these vaccines. And the federal government is a really, really great customer to have when they're buying hundreds of millions of vaccines from these companies. It was Nick Carl who said, literally verbatim, "It's just about making it so inconvenient for unvaccinated people to the point where they're just like, F it, I'll get it, you know?" Mm-hmm. So basically, you're getting beaten down by society, by the media, by obviously the political establishment. You're getting beaten down. You're getting messaging right and left that's designed to just wear you down to the point of submission. And that's why you have so many people here that are not asking questions about antibodies. The same PR firm that is currently representing the Facebook whistleblower, this is also the same firm that is very, very good at creating actual misinformation, creating third-party websites that are designed to look like sources of news, and then pumping tons of content into these websites that frankly just support the narrative that the White House wants you to believe, specifically the Biden administration. And so when you amplify that and you multiply one crappy website with a bunch of fake information on it, when you multiply that by thousands and maybe millions of other websites that have the same kind of junk out there, then you are just being you're being literally surrounded by all of this junk content that's designed to make you just do one thing, and that's to submit. The other scientist here from the Pfizer Project Veritas interaction, Chris Croce. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry, Chris. This guy was really transparent about what was going on here. He's saying, listen, and this is the Project Veritas journalist saying, so if I have the antibodies, I'm pretty well protected, right? And the Pfizer scientist says, yeah. And the journalist is like, so like just as much as the vaccine, right? The scientist says, actually probably more. And then the Project Veritas journalist says, well, how so? Like how much more protected am I? The scientist says, well, you're protected most likely for longer since there was a natural response. So the scientist here was actually expressing a level of dismay at the direction the company was going here because it didn't seem like it was the right thing to do. And so the journalist asked about the monoclonal antibodies treatment specifically, and the scientist
I'm going to see if I can pull it up
literally
here.
Pushed it to the side.
A new book.
And the journalist says why. And of course, the scientist says, well, money. It's disgusting. And money is really it. So when you think about kind of what actually financed Joe Biden's election, he got $1 million from Pfizer. And so this is kind of like the thank you, Pfizer, for supporting the
virus. Pfizer, we're going to start producing antibodies.
But don't take his word for it. Two other Pfizer scientists echo the same sentiment.
So I mean, well protected? Like as much as the vaccine?
Probably more.
How so?
Yeah, so we're going to just stop it there, and you can find a link at My Michelle Live. This is
like the thank you, Michelle. This is basically the administration saying thank you for supporting our campaign so aggressively with your $1 million donation. We're now going to support your business. Boom. And also it's going to allow us to assert more power over the people. What you see taking place around the country now is just ridiculous. California's mandates just got way more extreme. Where does it stop? I mean, it has to stop somewhere.
And this is something I want people to take under consideration. First of all, why do these scientists say that when you have natural immunity after getting COVID, for example, that you're better protected. Well, because a vaccine by nature targets one strain of a virus, right? And then the Delta variant comes or another variant comes, you're not protected. A natural immunity, this is science, is more widespread. It will attack things that are like it. Now, will you get it again? Maybe, like when you get the flu. But if you have those antibodies, you're less likely to get sick. The other thing to take into consideration that we should be concerned about is that those who have had COVID before, even if you don't really know you had COVID and you get the vaccine, those are some of the people who are at most risk of having really adverse side effects when you do get the shot and if you are to catch COVID again. So we're just to an inane place where people are digging their heels in who have said, yes, everyone should just get the shot. And when you say, okay, well, here's some things to la 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 la, I don't want to hear it. Nope.
That's kind of where we're at passport. Right now. Show me your passport. Show me your papers. Why can't it just be like, hey, yeah, man, you have antibodies? Cool, me too. All right, let's hang out. You know why it can't be the conversation? Because there's no money in antibodies. There's no money there.
This is something that you shared with me. It's from Fox News, and so people don't like Fox News, but it's Biden indicating he pressured emergency rooms to fast track a good friend. Now, that just reported? Is that verifiable? Is that just one of those Fox News things?
Unfortunately, this one's real. And it's kind of funny because I think Biden was even bragging about it, not realizing that it was actually an admission of abusive power.
Wait, what? Okay.
Don't worry, guys. If you get the jab and then you get COVID, it's fine, guys. If you're friends with the president, Beijing Biden, if you're cool with him, just let him know. He'll fast track you past the line. He'll put you right in front.
Okay, talk about this. What is this news story? Because I hadn't heard it.
Yeah, so he had a friend. It was the wife of a friend that came down with COVID and basically went to the emergency room. There was a really, really long wait. They weren't sure when they were going to get around it to offer treatment. And obviously the friend complained to Uncle Joe here. And Joe literally called the White House and just, hey, can you just help my friend out? Come on, man. And they literally fast-tracked this person, put them in the express lane, got to skip the line. But this is just par for the course, right? This is what they do. Do as I say, not as I do. I get the special privileges. I get to live the elite life.
Look, this is
while all the minions just kind of wait.
This is like Venezuela light. And that is something that is an unfortunate byproduct of socialism. Now, I'm not going to lie. I like the idea of equality and everyone has access to education and health care. That is fabulous. And so the heart behind the idea of socialism is a beautiful thing. I'm going to be honest. I know I'm ticking people off by saying this. However, it doesn't work.
Right.
Capitalism, on the other hand, as ugly as it can be as well, has brought more people out of poverty than any other system in the world. And it's verifiable.
And for good reason, Michelle. Well, capitalism recognizes human nature's need to compete. And for there to be a best of this and a best of that, socialism is so idealistic. It doesn't realize that in human nature, there's always going to be some strong man or woman, a strong person that goes for that one spot and takes over control and becomes a dictator. You know, that's just human nature, right? Socialism, you know, it's very idealistic. Like, let's take care of everybody, a very communal sort of thing. And it sounds beautiful, but then when you really look at what happens from that, and we've tested it time and time again in different parts of history, right? It always comes down to one strong man, one strong dictator taking over. And then you just have this huge class of those who just survive.
And you have really, really a lot of lives. This elitism that takes place. Now, if you think that model could be so much better for America, then I say let's debate it out. I think that's great. If you have socialist leanings, let's talk about it. The problem is that you can't, as we've been talking about in our broadcast as we wrap it up today, you cannot talk about it. You cannot challenge it. You cannot ask the difficult questions. You cannot bring different scientific ideologies, or I don't truths, facts, whatever they may be, to the table. You can't do that. And that is primarily, I think, one of the biggest causes of the breakdown of this system. Because you have the elite, you have those who are technocrats who will tell you what to do, who obviously, Fauci, don't know what the hell you're talking about.
You know, it's interesting. In the world overall, there are societies that look to chubby Americans as those who are the elite because we are well-fed. And when you think about some of those terrible societies, like those socialist or totalitarian societies, like in Venezuela, where you see the people literally within the period of about a year or two start to lose about 20 to 30% of their total body weight because of the governmental structure and power, you know, that's reality, right? So it's good to be American. It's great to be a capitalist. You can compete for the best. You can really work for the best and actually enjoy the benefits of that. And these other societies, yes. You know, it's just like you're just lucky to get a meal. I think a third of all Venezuelans are lucky to eat once per day.
I know. I think it's heinous.
Way more snacks than I deserve today.
And if you cannot talk about it, you cannot improve your system. It doesn't matter if it's the government, my friend. It doesn't matter if it's a vaccine. It doesn't matter if it's mandates. It doesn't matter if it's what's happening in the news, arrests, bails. All of the things that we've talked about have an element of if you do not talk about it, if you're not allowed to talk about it, if you're not allowed to talk about it, then you will not have truth. And that's what it comes down to. Adam, we are out of time. Thank you for sharing some of these crazy important stories. I think what we are doing here is vital. It's vital.
Absolutely.
We are among some of the voices that are out there, and there's some great voices that are trying to get to truth. And in our case, as you're listening, what's different about My Michelle Live is that we really do try to be balanced beyond what my personal feelings are, my personal leanings, my personal politics, trying to look at things from a balanced nature, trying to hear what's being said from differing views, looking at issues, researching them, and most of all, looking for the God story. That God story says that there is something more important than even these news stories, that standing up for truth is important. Standing up for freedom is vital. America is has been the last bastion of truth on the freaking planet. And if that goes away, there is no other bastions of hope. There is no other power that will stand for truth. That's why we stand for it. But there is a truth that goes beyond even the issues of the day. And that eternal truth sets you free. And that's what we try to point out every My Michelle Live. Thanks for joining us. Let's hope next week has some better news. Adam, come on.
I think it will. We'll see what happens, right? But hey, you know what? In the meantime, let's make it a great weekend, right?
Let's make it a great weekend. Take care.
For more fun, go to MyMichelleLive.com.